afternoon. Delight is a 1976 hit record by the Starland Vocal Band, written by Bill Danoff and Taffy Niver, who incidentally co-wrote John Denver's Take Me Home. The writing pair was known as Fat City. It became a number one U.S. Billboard Hot 100 single on July 10, 1976. At the same time as the release of the Starland Vocal Band version, country singer Johnny Carver had a top 10 hit with his cover on the Billboard Hot Country Singles chart. The name for the song comes from a special menu of the same name at Clyde's Restaurant in Georgetown, where, incidentally, the band's only gold record hangs. This was the only number one hit for the Starland Vocal Band. The song netted the group the Grammy for Best New Artist in 1976. Despite only having this one hit, the band was given their own TV show called the Starland Vocal Band in 1977, where an unknown comic first appeared, David Letterman. Speculation about the meaning behind the Rolling Stones' Angie. The most popular theory is that the song refers to David Bowie's wife, Angela, a friend of Mick Jagger. Another interpretation has suggested that it is about his relationship with Marianne Faithfull, which ended in turmoil in 1969. Another possibility is that Jagger wrote it for Angela Dandelion Richard, daughter of Keith Richard and Anita Pallenberg. Jagger has been quoted as saying, "People began to say that the song was written about David Bowie's wife, but in truth, it was Keith who wrote the title. He said, Angie. And I think it was to do with his daughter. She was called Angela. Then I just wrote the rest of it around it." Whatever the root of the lyrics were, it can be said about the song that it was very unusual material for the band, in that it was an acoustical ballad. In the U.S., this is the only ballad by the band that hit number one. Time is a song by Canadian rock band The Guess Who, composed by lead singer Burton Cumming. Though Randy Bachman, leader of Bachman Turner Overdrive, is often given co-author credit. There are two versions of the song. The original 1969 recording was done for The Guess Who's album Canned Wheat, but it is the 1970 re-recording as featured on the American Woman album that is the better known version. This one is slightly faster in tempo and has the two verses transposed, while the 1970 single is only broke the Billboard Top 100 in the U.S. It was the third in a string of number one million selling singles in Canada for the Guess Who. No Time went to number one on the Canadian chart while only reaching number five in the U.S. Dylan wrote the lyrics for Mr. Tambourine Man and the song was originally released on his fifth album, Bringing It All Back Home, on March 22, 1965. It is the only song Dylan ever wrote that went to number one. Mr. Tambourine Man was inspired by folk guitarist Bob Langhorne. As Dylan has explained it, Bruce was playing with me on a bunch of early records. On one session, producer Tom Wilson had asked him to play the tambourine, and he had this gigantic tambourine. It was like really big. It was as big as a wagon wheel, and he played it, and this vision of him playing it just stuck in my mind. The Byrds version is based on Bob Dylan's demo of this song. The group received the demo before Dylan had ever recorded it. The Byrds were still known then as the Jet Set. To make the song more of their own, they deleted some lyrics and added a 12-string guitar lead. This was the Byrds' first single. They did the vocals and lead guitar on the recording, but session musicians were brought in to play other instruments. The Byrds were still pretty rough as a group and were not very good musicians yet. The session musicians who played on this were members of the Wrecking Crew, a group of young studio musicians in Los Angeles who got their name because old-time musicians complained that they were wrecking the business. The Wrecking Crew members who played on this were Hal Blaine, Jerry Cole, and Larry Knechtel. They recorded the backing tracks at the same time they were working on the Beach Boys' Don't Worry Baby. The backing track is very similar on both songs, as you might know. A curious side note about this song: although the Byrds did not write this song or play most of the instruments, they would later write a song called Rock and Roll Star, which made fun of the Monkees for not writing their own song while playing their own instrument. You Were Here by Pink Floyd is about the detachment most people feel going through life. it is a commentary on how people cope with it by withdrawing physically, mentally, or emotionally. In the commentary on the wall, Roger Waters states that the inspiration was Pink Floyd's founding member, Sid Barrett, and his own ordeal with schizophrenia. David Gilmour wrote the music based on Waters' lyrics. It's one of the few Pink Floyd songs which were written this way, as Waters usually had music in mind when he brought lyrics to the band. The original concept for this song and the album was to use nothing but ordinary household objects to create music. So they cut three tracks using bottles, spray cans, and rubber bands, etc. But they didn't like the result. Adding to the general feeling of isolation and detachment that the band felt while recording this song was a very strange occurrence. Sid Barrett, their old bandmate, who had been in seclusion for years due to a drug-induced psychosis, suddenly appeared in the studio. Sid's former bandmates didn't even recognize him since he had lost all his hair and had gained considerable weight. He was wandering about the studio muttering nonsense when Waters and Gilmour finally realized to their dismay that this strange character was indeed their old bandmate, Sid.
Yeah.
Sam the Sham is the stage name of rock and roll singer Domingo Sam Simundo from Dallas, Texas. Sam the Sham is known for his campy on-stage attire of robe and turban and hauling his equipment around in a 1952 Packard hearse, complete with maroon velvet girth. As a frontman for the Pharaohs, he sang on half a dozen top 40 hits in the mid-60s, most notably Wooly Wooly. Towards the end of the Pharaohs' popularity, they went through a series of personnel changes. Tony Butch Geras, Frank Cabaretta, Bill Bennett, and Andy Cuhar was the new set of Pharaohs that recorded Little Red Riding Hood, which peaked at number 2 on the national chart.
Who's that I see walking in these woods? Why, it's Little Red Riding Hood. Hey there, Little Red Riding Hood. You sure are looking good. You're everything a big bad wolf could want. Listen to me, Little Red Riding Hood. I don't think little big girl should go walking in these spooky old woods alone. Walking with you alone. Oh, Little Red Riding Hood. I'd like to hold you if I could, but you might think I'm a big bad wolf, so I won't. Oh, what a big heart I have. Love better to love you with.
Last Train to Clarksville is a number one single by the Monkees, included on the group's 1966 self-titled album. The song was written and initially recorded by the team of Tommy Boyce and Bobby Hart, though there was often major conflict with Don Kirshner, who was the show's supervisor. The pair wrote and produced and performed the opening theme of the Monkees in the hugely popular Last Train to Clarksville. The vocals on both were replaced as the show was cast, however. Recorded at the RCA Records Studio A in Hollywood on July 25, 1966, Last Train to Clarksville peaked at number one on the Billboard Hot 100 charts in the United States. The song's title appears to refer to the city of Clarksville, Tennessee, and by implication, the nearby Fort Campbell, Kentucky. But Hart claims that this is a coincidence and that the choice of the name Clarksville was arbitrary. more curious is the fact that there never was a train station in Clarksville. WRFR 93.3 Rockland, 99.3 Camden. Dedicated to the One I Love was written by Ralph Bass and Roman Pauling. Bass and Pauling were members of the Five Royals who made the original recording of this song. A version by the Shirelles was a minor hit for them in 1959. The Five Royals re-released their own version, which charted to number 81 on the Billboard Hot 100 in 1961. Later that year, the Shirelles re-released their version, and it went to number 3. Others who have covered this song have been the Temprees. Their version went to number 93. Bernadette Peters, of all people, recorded a Hot 100 version in 1981, which went to number 65. Even Biddy McLean recorded a reggae version in 1994. Also, in 1996, Linda Ronstadt recorded a cover. The cover by the Mamas and the Papas that was released on the Dunhill label went to number 2 on the Billboard Hot 100 in 1967. Lead singer on the Mummer and Papa's version was Michelle Phillips. It was the first time Michelle was given lead over Cass Elliott. And, matter of fact, it was the first time she had lead on any of their songs. It's hard for you, my baby. The album First Under the Wire, a 1979 album by Little River Band. Lonesome Loser hit number 3. First Under the Wire was the band's second platinum album with 1.6 million copies sold. From 1978 until 1981, Little River Band achieved 6 consecutive U.S. top singles with Reminiscing, Lady, Lonesome Loser, Cool Change, Night Owl, and Take It Easy on Me. During their career, they have sold more than 25 million records and scored 13 American Top 40 hits.
Have you heard about the Lonesome Loser, beaten by the Queen of Hearts every time? Have you heard about the Lonesome Loser? He's a loser, but he still keeps on trying.
Country Road is a song written by John Denver, Bill Danoff, and Kathy Niver, and initially recorded by John Denver. It was included on his 1971 breakout album, Home, Prayers, and Promises. The single went to number 2 on the U.S. Billboard Hot 100. The origins of this song are quite interesting. John Denver was sharing the bill at Washington, D.C.'s folk club, The Cellar Door, with Danoff and Niver, who were working together under the name Fat City. After opening night, the three of them went in Danoff's car and headed back to his place for an impromptu jam. They told Denver about a song that they had been working on for a month. The inspiration had come to them while they'd been driving little winding roads in Maryland. The lyrics had been changed later to fit that of an artist friend who used to write Bill Danoff about the splendors of the West Virginian countryside. The pair played it for Denver, and he flipped, insisted that it be on his next album. According to a radio interview with Nivert, the road that inspired the song is nowhere in the state, however. It is actually a road close to her native Washington, D.C., in nearby Montgomery County, Maryland, where John Denver often visited. Clopper Road, which was the inspiration, still exists today. But the landscape has changed drastically from the bucolic landscape that once surrounded it.
Younger than the mountain.
If you have a favorite song from the 60s or the 70s and you would like to have it played, please feel free to write. My email is phantomtracks@gmail.com. Also, I'm always hungry for songs and band info, so if you have some really neat facts about a band or about their song, feel free to send it along.
Green tambourine.